Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Bible, grab it and stand to your feet with me. We're going to read from the Word of God today, and we're going to read two different passages, okay? First, we're going to read Romans chapter 8, and then we're going to read in Genesis chapter 12. But before we do that, hold your Bible up and declare this with me. Say, I am what His Word says I am. I can do what His Word says I can do. I can be who His Word says I can be. So today, I'll receive His Word. I'll be taught the Word of God, so I can obey His Word because I love His Word. In Jesus' name. First, you can go to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to read the first verse that we read last week, which is Romans chapter 8, verse 18. And I love this passage. I can't get away from it. God has been speaking to me through it so much over the past couple weeks. And so I want to start by reading this again because we're tagging on to what God said to us last week on the best is yet to come. And I'll tell you what. It's amazing how all throughout this week, God has confirmed this word. Andrea was shopping at one of the bargain bins places this week, and she found, I think she said, three bags that said the best is yet to come on them. She sent me a picture of them. And then just this morning, my dad, brother, and I are in a group text, on Sunday mornings we message each other back and forth how we're praying for each other and believing for the best for the day and everything. And my brother has no idea what I preached last week, and he just responded in the group text today, the best is yet to come. And normally he just says amen, or I'm praying for you, or something like that. It's amazing how God is just confirming. So let's read Romans chapter 8, verse 18. It says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Somebody say amen to that word. Now go to Genesis chapter 12 with me. And this is where I'm going to be preaching from this morning. And I'm going to tell you straight up, honestly, I'm going to share from my heart more than I preach a sermon today, but I still want there to be something that you go home. I never want to leave a Sunday morning having not fed the sheep. I want you to also listen as I'm speaking today and ask God, how can I apply this to my life? How can I be fed from this word? Let's read Genesis chapter 12, picking up in verse 1. It says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will bless you.'" I'm sorry. First he says, "I will make you a great nation." Then he says, "I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram, departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had acquired and that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. And they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land of the place of Shechem as far as the terebinth tree at Morah, and the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Father, I pray that as we look to your word today, you'd give us eyes to see and ears to hear, a heart to understand. God, I thank you for the peace of God, which passes all understanding. I thank you for your goodness and your mercy, which is following us and leading us and guiding us. And Lord, we just say thank you for a year and 4 months as a church. We say thank you for the years that are to come. And God, we say thank you for a place to meet and to be your children today. Lord, I thank you for these, your sons and your daughters who you have called and chosen and empowered. And I pray that today we would receive the word of God and be strengthened with boldness in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord this morning. I want to especially say thank you to all you parents for having your children in here with you today. And I know that it may not always be easy, but I consider that the sufferings that you are currently facing are not comparable to the glory that is going to be revealed in you. I'm telling you what, sometimes that's what parenting feels like. It's like, can we just keep them alive one more day? And if you just keep them alive one more day, I'll tell you what, if you'll raise them in the house of God, you'll raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord, that what you're currently facing, though it may be hard, one day they're going to be men and women of God who are changing the world for his glory and with his power. Amen. So you're in the right place at the right time. And I just want to say that I have never been more excited about a Sunday morning than I have from last Sunday until right now. I have been looking forward to this moment, this time that we have together as the body of Christ so much over this past week. It's been on my mind. It's been on my heart. I just have just been in anticipation, is waiting. Have you ever had something maybe that you are is on your calendar? Maybe it's vacation. Maybe it's Christmas. Maybe it's a day off of work, whatever it may be. Maybe it's your birthday that you just look forward to. You circle on the calendar. That's what this week has been like for me. I'm just like, I'm so excited for Sunday morning. I'm ready because I am excited not just about this morning, but about where the church is going and what God is leading us into. And that's really what I want to share with you about today is obviously we're not at Livingstone Academy this morning, even though we have been for the last year and 4 months. But we are in a transitory season. And I want to explain to you and really just I want to share with you what the Lord has been speaking to myself, speaking to Pastor Madison, and not just speaking, but confirming. It's great when God speaks, but I'll tell you what, when God confirms something that he has spoken, it makes it so much easier to walk it out in faith and to believe what he's saying. But he hasn't just been speaking to us, he's been confirming to us. And I want to show you that today and just share, as I said, from my heart. But I can stand before you today in total confidence and tell you and declare from the Lord that the best is truly yet to come for this church, for this community, for you in your life, in your household, because the Lord has been speaking to me over the past couple weeks, really. It's increased over the past week, but over the last couple weeks, God's been speaking to me and showing me that our time at Livingstone Academy, as good as it has been, is coming to a close. God's been leading me that we needed to step out of that building so that we could step into what he has for us. So I want to share with you, I'm going to drop a little bit of a whammy on you today. We will no longer be holding services at Livingstone Academy ever again. Okay. And first, I want to show appreciation to Livingstone and let you know it has nothing to do with them. They did something bad. They're kicking us out. We're done with them. We're frustrated with them. It's not that at all. It's that God has been speaking to us. Your season at Livingstone is coming to a close. You see, God is a God who invented seasons. So therefore, God has us to walk in seasons. Okay. We have summer and winter, spring and fall, because that's how God ordained and set up our atmosphere to work. But it's the same in our life spiritually. There are seasons, and what is good for one season may not be good for the next season, because sometimes when you hold on to good, you'll miss great. And I believe that God has great for us that he wants us to step into and walk into, and he has told us, I want you to move out of this season of meeting at Livingstone Academy. And so that's what he's been speaking to me. That's what he's been showing me. Now, you may have questions and thoughts. Well, what does that mean? What does that look like? I'll tell you what it means, and I'll tell you what it looks like. It means next Sunday, I don't know where we're going to meet. But it also means that God is going to provide, because God will never tell you to do something and then leave you hanging. God will never say, I want you to step out in faith and there not be something to be there. When Peter got out of that boat, when Jesus was walking on the water and he said, Master, if it's you, bid me to come to you. And he said, it is I, come. Peter stepped out of that boat. What seemed to not hold up the weight of a person all of a sudden had the ability and the substance to hold up the weight of a full grown man. Why? Because when God calls you to step out, even when there's nothing you can see, there will be substance for you to stand on, because his word will not return to him void. And so what does that mean next week? It means I don't know. Okay? So we're living from day to day, week to week right now. Is it because Livingstone is not fit to meet in? No. Because honestly, the smell that we smelled last week and that it had gotten worse throughout the week has actually gotten better when I was there yesterday. It's not that. It's not that it's not available. It's not that it's not there. It's not that they're telling us we can't be there. It's not that we just don't want to be there. It's that God said, this season is coming to a close and I want you to trust me. Because I believe that if God tells you to step out and then you step out, he will reward that obedience. And so we are stepping out in faith, and I'll tell you just some ways and some things that God has confirmed this to me. Okay. So on Tuesday, we had decided that we were not going to have service Wednesday night. God had already been speaking this to me, and I knew that we didn't need to go back to that building. I didn't yet know why, but the smell from the leak and the sprinkler leak in the back had gotten much worse, and I was worried about the safety of the children and of anybody that may be susceptible to mold or to mildew. And so, like I said, that has gotten better. I'm not in any way putting Livingstone down. They've done everything they can to try to get rid of that and take care of that smell. Okay, so this is not against them. But I knew God, for some reason, didn't let us meet in the building that Wednesday night. I just knew in my spirit we didn't need to. And so then I text Katie, who is the lead of the school there, and I said, hey, Katie, just want to let you know we won't be having service Wednesday night, so you guys don't have to move anything around, because they were very kind to move their stuff out of our way so that we could set up for church on Wednesdays. And she texted me back the next morning. She said, oh, by the way, I just found out that Saturday, which would be yesterday, they're going to be working on the steps at the building, and the front door will be blocked, and so everyone will need to use the side entrance. But what that was to me is that was a sign from God saying, I'm blocking the front door. I don't want you to come back in this building anymore. And so I was like, okay, God, you're really speaking to me. And it was in that moment that Pastor Madison and I talked, we prayed, and we felt like God is saying, I don't want you to hold another service in this building. Now, here's what's interesting. The last service that we held there was October 31st, which was the last day of October. And so November ushered us into a new season, a whole new day, a whole new sphere as a church. And God is saying, in the month of November, it was good for October, but I don't want you going back there in November. Okay? So that's why we weren't able to have service Wednesday night. That's why we're not there this morning. And a few months ago, I spoke on a Sunday morning on faith and how faith is not doing something stupid and expecting God to provide. Faith is you getting a word from God and you stepping out on that word and seeing him provide. And so that's what we're doing in this season. We're not just saying, you know what, God, we're going to not go back to Livingstone so that you have to provide a building. No, he told us, I don't want you to go back in that building. I want you to step out in faith and watch me provide. Okay, so we're stepping out of faith. And here's what I've been telling. Here's what I told our leadership team, what I told Pastor Madison. This isn't a step of faith. It's a leap of faith. Okay. There's a difference. It's one thing to kind of edge out just a little bit and go, okay, we're not stepping out of faith. We're jumping and we're like, okay, God, I need you to catch me, because if you don't catch me, I'm falling. Okay. And so we're just believing that God is going to provide. But where will we meet next Sunday? I don't know. But you know who does know? God knows. So how are we going to get through the season? By trusting God. By trusting him again and again and again. It may be that Saturday we don't know where we're meeting. And if that is the case, I'm asking you to trust God. I'm not trying to make this about my faith. This is our faith together as a church. We are partnering together to believe that God is going to make a way. We have always been people, and we always will seek to be people. Pastor Madison and I, the heart of this house is to be people of the presence of God. Not to be people that just, this is our church, this is the way we do things. We try to be good people and we hold a service every Sunday. But no, we want to make sure if the presence of God isn't in it, we don't want to have anything to do with it. And so we have always sought to be present people of the presence. Well, as you look in the book of Exodus, as God led the people of Israel out through the leadership of Moses, they went into the wilderness, but he led them by a cloud, which represented his presence. And when the cloud moved, the people moved. And I have prayed for years now. I can say over a year now. I have prayed to God, God, don't take us out of Livingstone if your presence isn't going to go with us. Because I'd rather have the presence of God in this place or wherever we're going to be next week than I would have a paid off, beautiful, awesome building with no presence. I want to make sure that we are following God's presence, that we are doing what He wants us to do. And you cannot have presence without obedience, okay? And so you have to be obedient. And in your obedience, God will release the presence of God into your life. And so Moses cried out to the Lord in Exodus chapter 33. He said, if your presence is not going to go up with us, don't lead us up from this place. And that's what I've been praying. God, if your presence isn't going to go with us, we don't want to go. But now we also don't want to stay because it's comfortable, because it's easy, because it's cheap if you're going somewhere else. Because I'll tell you what, it's a lot easier to stay at Livingstone, even though it's setting up and tearing down, than it is to not know where your church is going to meet next Sunday morning. But we're not called to stay in the comfortable. We're called to step out. In fact, and God has been showing me, and I'm not trying to promote myself. I'm trying to show you how God has been speaking to this church because He loves you. Okay? This is not about me saying, hey, look at what I preached a couple weeks ago. This is you realizing God has been getting us ready for this time for months now. I preached a few months ago on what revival brings. There were seven things that I shared. Two of them God has just been bringing back to me over and over again. One of them was the launching out into the deep. When in Luke chapter 5, when Jesus got into the boat, after He'd been preaching to the people on the shore, He turned to Peter, who would eventually be His disciple, and He said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. Meaning, I want you to get away from the shallow. I want you to get away from the comfortable. I want you to get away from the shoreline. And I want you to launch out into the deep. And then He said, I want you to let down your nets. And they said, Master, we've toiled all night and we haven't caught anything. And He said, but then they say, but nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down my nets. What He was showing them in that moment was a new way of doing things. I've never known of a church that didn't know where they were meeting next Sunday. I'm sure there's been one. I'm not trying to put us up on a pedestal, but this, to me, this is a new way of doing things. Okay. And so God has been speaking this to us that when God sparks revival, sometimes it's going to cost you something and it's going to make you do things that don't make sense to your natural mind, that don't keep you within the confines of your comfortability and the space that you have come to know and enjoy. Well in, but He's saying, I want you to get out from your country. I want you to get out of from among your family, and I want you to go to a land that I will show you. So I've been praying and praying, God, I'd rather have your presence than anything else. But now He's guiding us to walk by faith and not by sight. You see, it's not what we see, but it's what we hear. Sometimes God speaks things to your heart, to your mind, and you hear them before you ever see them. Because you're called to walk by faith and not by sight. And I know that it sounds foolish. I'm sure somebody in here is thinking, what is wrong? They should have never let this guy pastor this church. What is going on? But I just believe that if some people don't think your faith is foolish, then it might not be faith at all. If you look at Noah, God gave Noah a word. He divinely warned him of a flood that was going to come, and it didn't come for 120 years. I'm sure so many people thought Noah is crazy. Building that ark out there, but his faith seemed foolish to some, but it ended up being his salvation for him and for his family. And God repopulated the earth through them. I'm sure that for so many people, when David was being hunted by Saul and his servant said, hey, now's your time to take him. And he said, no, I'm not going to raise my hand against the Lord's anointed, even though he had been anointed to be king. I'm sure that sounded foolish to them, but he trusted God's timing. All throughout the scripture, we see people who trusted God at His timing. And so we walk by faith and not by sight. It may seem crazy to some, but I tell you what, I've had so much peace this past week. You'd think that I'd be a nervous wreck, not able to sleep, just, you know, going crazy. I have had one of the best weeks of my life. Why? Because it is so peaceful to be in a place where you're trusting God. God's been speaking to me over and over again. Self-dependence will eventually lead to self-destruction. I'm so thankful that I don't have to depend on myself to come up with a plan for this church. We're trusting and we're believing in God. Being in God's will is a comforting place to be. Little did I know that last week when I preached out of Romans chapter 8, where it says, likewise, the Spirit helps in our weaknesses. I didn't know how many opportunities He was going to give me to lean into His Spirit this week. And to find comfort, not in what I know, but in who He is and in what He knows, that He was going to be our comforter. So I don't know where our future home is, but I know this, God is our provider. And I know that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so I know this. I know that it has brought me to a place where I'm desperate to seek God like I've never been desperate to seek him before. Because this doesn't just affect me and my family. This affects you and your family. And God has given me the weight and the burden and responsibility of seeking him to find out what he wants us to do in this season. And I want you to know I don't take that lightly. I'm excited about what God is going to do. But at the same time, I'm not just flippantly like, yeah, whatever, we'll figure it out. I'm seeking him because I understand how heavy of a thing this truly is. This is his house. This is not my house. This is his house. And I've been saying since day one, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. I don't want to spin my wheels. I don't want to do something in vain. I only want to do what he wants us to do. And I've been thinking this week about the story of Abram. And we read a moment ago the genesis of Abram's story in the Bible of what begins to happen through his life. But he comes to a place after God has given him the promised child, Isaac, where if you go over to Genesis chapter 22, God speaks to Abram and he says, I want you to take your son, your only son. Notice that God does not even recognize Ishmael as a legitimate son. Why? Because it was something that Abram tried to do in his own strength. I don't want to try to do anything in our own strength. I've tried that before and I've seen it fail. I only want to do what God wants us to do. But he says, I want you to take your son. I want you to take your only son. I want you to go to the mountain that I will show you, and I want you to sacrifice him there to me. So Abram, the next morning, he rises early, packs up the donkeys, gets two servants, grabs Isaac, gets wood, gets fire, and heads out to the place where God told him to go. He leaves his servants at the bottom of the mountain. He says, you guys stay here. We're going to go worship. We'll come back. They get halfway up the mountain, and Isaac says, Father, I see the wood and I see the fire, but where's the sacrifice? Where's the ram? Normally showing us that Isaac's seen his father do this before, but this time something's different. There's nothing to lay on the altar and kill and set on fire. So he's saying, Dad, did we forget something back at home? You know what Abraham said? The Lord will provide. We're halfway up the mountain, but I know God's going to provide. We're halfway there, but I know that God has another plan. He gets Isaac all the way, binds him up, lays him on the altar, reaches his hand for the knife, lifts it up in the air, and the angel of the Lord says, Abram, Abraham, now I know that you will listen to me and you were obedient to sacrifice your son, your only son. Do not kill your son. And the Bible says Abraham turns around and there's a ram caught by his thorns in the thicket. I'm telling you, we're going to see the ram caught in the thicket. God is going to provide. I'm believing we may make it all the way up the mountain. We may make it where we've got our hand in the air and we're like, all right, God, this thing's about to die. Because realize that was the fulfillment of the promise and it was about to die. We may get to the point, I don't know if God's going to let us get this far. We may get halfway up the mountain. Oh, there's the ram. We may get all the way to the top and there's the ram. We may get the sacrifice bound and we think, God, I don't know if we're going to make it another week. And we're going to turn around and there's going to be a ram in the thicket. But I know this, God will be faithful. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is the Lord who provides. God will provide. This is our act of obedience, just like Abram had an act of obedience. And I cannot wait to see what God does. That's what I'm so excited about is, God, what are you going to do? Because I know it's going to be something miraculous. It's not going to be anything that I can do. It makes me also think of Moses and the people of Israel after they'd come out of the land of Egypt. They've been set free from their bondage. They get all the way up to the Red Sea and they've got a humongous sea on one side of them and the Egyptians breathing down their neck on the other side. And everybody's freaking out. What are we going to do? Where are we going to go? Moses, this is crazy. Maybe we should have just stayed in Egypt. Maybe we should have just stayed at Livingstone. I don't know. Pastor Spencer's crazy. This is weird. Why are we doing this? And Moses is talking to God. And I love what God says to Moses. You can read this in the book of Exodus. He says, why are you crying to me? Tell the people to go for it. That's what I feel like God is saying to us. We're not going to sit here and whine and cry. We're just going to keep moving forward. Whatever forward looks like, God will reveal it to us. He will show it to us in his time. I know that he has a plan. I know that he has a purpose. I know that he will provide. I know that he hasn't led us this far to leave us. And so we're just going to keep moving forward, whatever forward is. But I'll tell you where we're not going, and that's backwards. We are not going back to Egypt. We are moving forward to the promised land that God has for us. So this is what we're doing. We're moving forward. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 12, and I want to talk about this for a few moments. And if you'll give me just a little bit more of your time, I know that we have children today and in here, and I pray God's peace over those children and those comfort, that He will give us the grace to get through this, because I believe that this is what He wants to say to us as a church right now. And everyone has done so well so far. In Genesis 12, God tells Abram, who would become Abraham, He says, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house. You know what He's doing? He's calling him away from everything that was comfortable or familiar. He said, I want you to get out of the place, because your country means the land of your nativity. I want you to get out of the place where you started. And we started at Livingstone Academy. And God's saying, I want you to get away from what has become familiar. Because I was telling Brian yesterday morning, after a year and 4 months, you become familiar with something. You have memories there. When we went and got, and I'll tell you, Pastor Madison and Tanner and Brandon, we went up to the school on Friday, and we got everything that we own out of the building. And we put it in a trailer, and we took it and we put it in storage, and we put it in my garage, and we put it here and we put it there, but we got everything out. Why? But as we walked through, I had just almost tears coming to my eyes, thinking about the services that we've had there and the memories that we have there. And I'm thankful for what God did, but He's saying, get out of your familiar zone, get out of your comfortability, to a land that I will show you. So God was calling Abram, and He's calling us, and He's calling you and your family, you and your life, to get out of your comfort zone. What is familiar to you, you can't stay connected to that anymore. You can't stay familiar, stay comfortable, and inherit the promise that God has for you. Okay? So we're going to choose progress over playing it safe. We believe that if God is leading us out of our place of familiarity, then it is because He has somewhere that He wants to take us. How many of you believe God has somewhere He wants to take us as a church? Because you can't inherit the promise if you don't step out in faith. So here's what I want you to get. He said, go to the land that I will show you. This is faith, okay? He didn't say, Abram, here's a place on the map, go there. He said, leave, and then I'll show it to you. Because as soon as God started speaking this to me, before I had any other type of confirmation, I'm going to share more confirmations with you momentarily, but before I had any other confirmations, I said, God, I need you to show this to me in your word. Because anytime God speaks something to me in my spirit, I want Him to confirm it by His word, because His word is true, it's absolute, it's perfect, it doesn't make a mistake. So I said, God, I need you to show this to me. And He reminded me of this story of Abraham, where He said, get out of your family, get away from your land, get away from your country, to a place that I will show you. I believe that as we step out in faith, God's going to show us where we need to be. I believe He's going to lead us exactly to the place where we need to be. And so, meaning, I want you to step out in faith, and then I'll reveal to you the bigger picture. I want you to see that God always sees the bigger picture. We see it as taking a leap of faith, and we don't know where we're going next week, but God already sees next week and the next week and the next week. So if we trust Him, it's not foolish to trust Him. It may seem foolish, it may sound foolish, but it's really the best place that you could possibly be. So I'll tell you this, God hasn't shown me the full picture yet. He's just given me a word. He's just given me a direction to start heading. But I'm asking you as the church to trust me as I trust Him. I'm not asking you to trust me. I'm asking you to trust me as I trust Him. Okay? Because He knows where we need to be. You're His sheep. I'm just the shepherd. Okay? He knows what's best for you. He knows what's best for your family. And I believe that God will provide what He has for us in His perfect time. But here's the thing. Our time and God's time aren't exactly the same. Because I'm sure that Abraham would have much rather God provide a ram at the bottom of the mountain instead of the top when he had his hand in the air. Because now he's thinking, how am I going to explain this to Isaac? Right? Now I've got to tell Isaac, yeah, Isaac, I fully intended to kill you, son. But God stopped me. He would have much rather when Isaac asked, where's the sacrifice? Abram to go, oh, it's right here. Look at God. Wow. That was amazing. God provided. But no, God let him get all the way to the top of the mountain, bind his son, lay him on the altar, and raise his hand over him. And then God cries out. Because God's timing and our timing aren't the same. Like when Mary and Martha called to Jesus and said, hey, Lazarus is sick unto death. He's going to die. We need you to come pray for him. Jesus goes, okay. And he stays in the same place for 3 more days. Right? That's not, we're like, no, Jesus, did you not get the urgency of the message? Your friend Lazarus is dying. He said, yeah, I know, I'll be there. And he shows up and he raises him from the dead. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but that God may be glorified. I'll tell you what, my main goal is not that people would look at us and go, wow, what a step of faith. My main goal is that God would be glorified. That people would go, wow, look how God provided for the Wellfort Pain. Look at what God did. Look at how people are getting. I'm believing that even in this transitory season, and I prayed and I hoped that we would, this is the only time you'll ever hear me say this as a pastor. I hoped and prayed that no new people came today. And no one did. Because I needed to speak to you as the family of the Wellfort Pain. But next week, invite everybody you know. Where are we going to invite them to? I don't know. Listen, if Jesus could show up and speak here and speak there and speak there and speak here and he traveled around, we can do it too, okay? We'll make it work. He preached a sermon on the mount. Multitudes, thousands of people came to hear him speak and preach. I'm believing that even in this season of not knowing exactly where we're going, we can still see people saved, healed, delivered, added to the church. I'm believing for miracles, signs and wonders. I believe that this is just the starting point. And I believe that God made this promise to Abram and he's making it to us. I want to read this over you as a church. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. My heart and prayer is that we'd be a blessing to this city. Never a burden, always a blessing to this city. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families, let's say this, all the families of DeKalb County shall be blessed. That's what I'm believing. In us, all the families of DeKalb County shall be blessed. God has promised to bless us, and I know that he will. But in verse 4, listen to this. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. That's what we're doing. We've departed from Livingstone Academy. Again, all respect and thanksgiving to them for what they did for us in the season. Nothing to do with them. But when God says leave, you just got to leave. You just got to go. I want to be in the middle of God's will so that I can be in the middle of God's blessing. Amen. So he says, so Abram spoke and so Abram departed because the Lord had spoken to him. All our possessions are vacated from Livingstone Academy. We have obeyed the word of the Lord. But listen to this. It says that Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. When I read this yesterday, that word Haran means crossroads. And I believe that God has had us at a crossroads and we've chosen the path that he has given us. Because every time God speaks to you in your life, you are at a crossroads. You can choose the word of the Lord or you can choose to do whatever you want to do. Stay comfortable or get into the will of God. Okay, so we were at a crossroads, but Abram was 75 years old. He obeyed the Lord. He departed from Haran, and that's what we're doing. Listen to this. You may not realize this. We started the church officially on Father's Day of 2020, right, which was in the month of June. But we actually started having services in Livingstone on May the 20th, which was a Wednesday night of 2020. How many of you were there on May 20th, 2020? On Wednesday nights, we started with people that had come with us from Scottsboro and our leadership team and our core team, our plant team, and we started having services on May 20th. I went back and looked it up. May 20th, 2020. From May 20th, 2020 to October 27th, 2021, which was the last Wednesday night service that we held in Livingstone Academy, it was 75 weeks. Okay? Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. 75 weeks from May 20th, 2020 to October 27th, 2021. I counted it 5 times just to be sure. Went through every single week and counted. God will do little things like that that nobody else would see as important to show you you're doing what I've told you to do. I'm confirming to you, this is the word, this is the way I want you to walk in it. So you tell me God doesn't know what he's doing. God didn't leave Abram hanging. He fulfilled every promise he ever spoke to Abram. And I believe he's going to fulfill every promise he's ever spoken to us. All the words about suddenly and about revival and everything that's coming, I believe that we're stepping into that season because obedience always unlocks blessing. Okay? So I believe that blessing is coming. So it doesn't mean that Abram never had trials. Doesn't mean that Abram wasn't tested. Doesn't mean he never had problems. But he counted God faithful. In Romans chapter 4, verses 19 through 21, speaking of Abram, it says, and not being weak in faith. I want to encourage you in this season, don't be weak in faith. Don't give over to complaining. Don't give in to whining. Don't give in to doubt. Don't give in to worry. Don't give in to fear. Well, where are we going to be? What are we going to do? Just trust God. Don't complain. Trust God. Don't worry. Trust God. Okay? And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. I'm praying for you this week that you would be strengthened in faith. That's how I felt this week as I have obeyed God and as we have obeyed God, as I shared with the leadership team and they all were like, we're behind this vision of God 1,000%. We'll do, you know, whatever God calls us to do. My faith has been strengthened. I believe that God can and God will do anything. We're not going to waver concerning the promise. And I'm praying that for you, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Even in the midst of not knowing exactly what that looks like, Abram just chose, I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to waver concerning the promise. One thing I know is there has never been a moment where God has failed to be faithful from the beginning of time. So why would he start now? Why would he start with the Well Fort Payne? Why would he start with your life? Why would he start with my life? Why would he start with this work that he is building? He's not going to be unfaithful. This is his house. You are his children. And I know that he'll be faithful for your life. That's why I can say to you, the best is yet to come. We ain't seen nothing yet. Okay? God isn't done. He's just getting started. I have an abundance of expectation in my heart. We haven't seen anything yet. So you may ask, what does tomorrow look like, Pastor? Trust in God. What does next week look like? Trusting God. What's going to happen in the future? What if we don't have anywhere to meet come Friday? We're still going to trust God. We may get to the point where our hand is already raised in the sky and we're like, well, God, do you want us to kill this Sunday morning? And then all of a sudden somebody's going to call. We're going to see something. God's going to do something. So we're just trusting God. What if we don't find a building? I'll tell you what, I'm not seeking a building. I'm seeking God. That there's the key. We've got to get out of our mind looking for a building. I'm looking unto the author and the finisher of my faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. I'm not looking for a building. I am seeking the God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Okay? He knows exactly what we have need of before we even ask. So this isn't my church. This is his church. And if it's his church, then it's his responsibility. Right? It's his job to perform, and I believe that he will. The gates of hell won't prevail against it. So I'm asking you to trust me as I trust him. But I'm also asking this, and I'm really asking that you would hear me out on this. I know that every single person in this room would be well-meaning in trying to offer solutions. Okay? But I'm asking that if you have an opinion or a thought, to take it to prayer. Okay? Here's what I mean by that. If you drive by a building, oh, what about that? Take it to prayer. Okay? I know it'd be well-meaning. I know it would be in the heart and in the avenue and the desire of, I want to help. But the reason I'm asking you this is, as I try to seek God and Pastor Madison and I together try to seek God for the avenue and the direction and the guidance of this church, what we don't need is something to cloud our perspective. Okay? Now, if God gives you a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, a dream, a vision, please submit it to me and I will listen to it. I will take it to prayer. But if you're just like, oh, this place rents out and I saw this place one time and what about this? I know you're well-meaning, but it's really just going to cloud and give us more to pray about instead of just saying, God, what do you want? Okay, so I'm asking for well-meaning opinions to stay within your heart and within your prayer. Okay? To not bring them. Now, like I said, if God gives you a word, then by all means, share it. But I want to keep my mind and my spirit unclouded and clear so that I can hear from him what his will is from day to day. Because here's what I love about God. The way he set it up, his church is not four walls and a sign out front with a cheesy slogan. Okay? That's not what a church is. That's what we've made church to be in our mind. But the church is the body of Christ. The church is the person sitting next to you. The church is the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. It's not a stage and in lights and a smoke machine. It's not any of those things. The church is the body of Christ. And so wherever we are, that's his church. Wherever we go, wherever we meet, you are the church. We are the church. We're the body of Christ. And no matter where we go, we will continue to be his bride. So we're in a transitory season, but what a joy it is to be in his perfect will, in his perfect timing, in his perfect plan, knowing what? He works all things together for good. He's known this day was coming since before we were ever even present on this earth, and he had a plan. I love what it says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ever ask or think, according to the power that's at work in us. He didn't bring us this far to leave us. You know why? Great is his faithfulness. He's been faithful for a year and 4 months. He'll be faithful for 100 more as long as we're here. So here's what we're doing. We're moving forward. I want to read you something, and then I'm going to talk about some just logistical things. Go with me to the book of Hebrews. As we follow what God tells us to do, I'll tell you what, I operate on a plan of reading the Bible through in a year. And I read that plan. And I started the current plan that I'm on Christmas Day of 2020. Okay, I started this plan and I follow this plan. It's on YouVersion. And it's read the Bible through in a year. And some days I've read my Bible, but I've not done the reading plan. And then some days I'll read multiple to catch up, just depending on where I am and what I'm doing that day. But I think it's no coincidence that today I go to do my daily Bible reading, and this is the passage that I land on. It was Hebrews chapter 11, which verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." But go down with me to verse 8. Listen to what I read this morning. "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." I'll tell you, I don't want man's plan. I want God's plan. Amen. "By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child even when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man," I love this, "and him as good as dead." You know, some people may look at our church and go, "They're not going to make it. They're good as dead. They don't even have somewhere to meet next week." Well, Abraham was just as good as dead, and Sarah was beyond the years of childbearing, but God gave her power to conceive seed. "We're born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore." I truly believe that God is leading us out because Livingstone cannot contain what God wants to do. Not that building, not those people, but where we are as a church. We are going to be growing in an exponential manner. And I know it may not seem like it to you today, but just trust God. I'm sure it didn't look like it when Abram stepped out and everybody, all his family was going, "Abram's crazy. He's leaving. Where's he going? He doesn't even know where he's going." But if we'll just stay faithful to the promise, he will do what he promised he would do. Amen. So what are we doing? We're moving forward. Here's where we are. We're on a week-to-week progression, okay? Meaning, where are we going to meet next week? I don't know, but as soon as I do, I'll tell our leadership team, and then we'll relay that message to you, okay? So here's what I'm going to do. As soon as I hear from God, I'm going to speak to our leadership team, and then we're going to begin to communicate with the church. That will be done through Facebook and through our text cast. So if you are not subscribed to our text cast, is our screen working right now? Can you put up, Shelly, the graphic for the text cast? If you do not have this text cast on your phone, oh, there we go. Okay, text "well" to 256-500-8828. And by doing that, you will be on our text cast. And every time we send out a group text to the church, you'll receive information. So every time, as soon as we know, and as soon as we get the information of where we're meeting from week to week, we will post on Facebook and we will send out a group text and we will let you know. So that's the best way to follow and stay connected. But right now, we will not have any in-person Wednesday night services. Once we get in the next place that God has for us, the next season, whether that's a permanent or whether that's a temporary thing, whatever that is that God asked for us, we will resume Wednesday nights. I love Wednesday nights. I love teaching. I love gathering together. I love fellowshipping together. But right now, I prayed about it and I felt like God said it's too much to try to do Sundays and Wednesdays every single week and try to figure out. I just want you to focus on Sunday mornings, and I will do a Facebook Live on Wednesday nights. It'll be 30 minutes to an hour each Wednesday night, and Shelley laughed and Pastor Madison smiled because this last Wednesday I said it was going to be 30 minutes, and it was 58 minutes. So I'm going to try to keep it 30 minutes to an hour because I know that coming to church for an hour-long service is one thing, but I understand sitting in front of your phone or your computer, your TV for an hour for a service is a whole different thing. So I am going to try to keep it concise, but I do want to keep teaching on the gifts of the Spirit because I believe that the gifts of the Spirit are not going to be confined in this season. They're going to be released in this season, okay? So no Wednesday nights. It will be Facebook only on Wednesday nights, no in-person meeting, but we will continue. I'll tell you this, I feel and know in my spirit every Sunday we will have service, okay? I'll tell you that. Every service we'll have Sunday in person. And I'll also tell you this, when we can have childcare, we will. We will make it priority. But it just depends on where God has us. You can look around and see this is not a conducive place to have childcare. The floors are concrete. They're not. Your children would go home filthy and it would be an unpleasant place to try to have childcare. I'm not saying we'll be here next week. I've already told you 5 or 6 times. I don't know where we're going to be next week. So when we can have childcare, if it's feasible, we will do everything within our power to have it. But there may be times where we can't. But I believe that God's going to be faithful. He's going to make a way. He's going to provide. But make sure you're subscribed to that text cast, that you're following on social media so that you can see and know as soon as possible and help us spread the word. We want to see God continue to touch lives. Next Sunday is going to be very different. I know this feels weird. It almost feels like a town hall meeting where I'm kind of just telling you a bunch of information. I'm not as much preaching to you. But next Sunday, it's going to be worship, the word, ministry. We're back on schedule, but I felt like I needed as a pastor to tell you where we are, what God is saying, what God is doing. But I'm excited to see what God is going to do because I truly believe the best is yet to come. Do you believe that with me today? Can you stand to your feet with me? Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. I thank you that where you guide, you also provide. And I'm praying that in this season, as we step out in faith, that you would allow each and every one of us to be strengthened in faith. You know, the only way to grow in faith is to use your faith. Just like the only way to grow a muscle is to use your muscle. And as God, as we step out in faith, we are exercising believing because your word says faith without works is dead. But like Abraham, we choose to believe that you will not leave us hanging, God, but you are able to perform everything that you have promise, and we will not waver concerning the promise, but we walk by faith and not by sight, God, and we declare great is your faithfulness, and we will trust you and believe that you are going to provide in your perfect time. God, I pray for your people today. I pray blessing over their life, in their job, in their home, in their family, in their finances, God. I pray that as we step out, Lord, I believe that we're just going to see left and right, that you are going to fulfill every single promise that you have spoken to us, God, that suddenly is coming, and it's exciting, and it's not inconvenient. God, we just say right now, serving you is not an inconvenience. There may be suffering and pain may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. And just like Jesus, we set our face on the joy that is set before us, and we endure everything that we are going to walk through. And we say, great is your faithfulness and your love for us and our love for you. And we honor you and we praise you today in Jesus' name. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Can just look at somebody on your way out today after I speak a blessing over you. Look at somebody and tell them the best is yet to come. Look at somebody. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace. May he put his name on you in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen.